Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
Luke chapter 11. Let's go here and start and share this foundation scripture before we get into today's lesson. Verse 1, Luke 11 says, "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." They were curious about prayer. They observed Jesus' habit of prayer, and they saw John the Baptist praying, and they were aware of the power of prayer. "Lord, teach us to pray." In Matthew chapter 6, we'll come to our text, and we'll look together at this. And if you can, pretty small text, if you can, read with me. "Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So Jesus said, pray in this manner. He didn't say pray or just say these words only, but pray according to this pattern. And we've talked about the different types of petitions in this prayer. In fact, six different kind of petitions, from your kingdom come to worshiping God for his power as well. We want to emphasize one point here before we get to our lesson today. I'm going to skip ahead to the slide. Your kingdom come. Say kingdom come. Jesus said, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I like the King James where it says in earth. Other versions say on earth. It's okay either way. But in earth puts me in the mind of earthen vessel. Amen. Me. You know what I'm saying? In earth, in me, as it is in heaven. That is, we have the kingdom around us and we have it within us. But in a sense of when the kingdom comes, it comes in fullness. We want fullness. Say, I want fullness. I want fullness. And the kingdom is in the midst of us, but does not come without submission to his will. That's where people who just are in and around church and people who serve Christ as the church differ. That people who are just nominal Christians, we say churchgoers, may have the kingdom around them and in them, but for those who serve Christ, his kingdom comes in fullness, and that you can see more of his will being done in your life. All right, Matthew 16 and 12, we discussed last week the topic says, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. It's so important to recognize the power of forgiveness. That is, God forgives us, we forgive others. Luke chapter 11, verse 4, in a different story, same text, it says, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. So forgive us our debts and sins. We learned last week there are five words for sin. I'm not going back into that. All right, get last week's lesson. But the point we made to you is that sin is complex and tries to hide. And the sin we deal with as Christians isn't a sinful nature, but sinful behavior. Sin means to miss the mark, among other things. One version or one type of the word sin means to step over the line, step beyond the line. One means to slip and fall and so forth. And so we as believers, the sins that we deal with, again, are not the sins of the old nature, but the sins of just not paying attention, not being obedient, not following through with God, things like that. So we do have that to contend with. And so we want to always in the morning when you pray, Lord, forgive me of my sins. And be, you know, and tell him what you did. You know, tell me, you know, when, Well, don't wait till the morning to pray, by the way. But sometimes we let things linger on until the next day. And if in your prayer time you remember, you know, Lord, I got to square this away with you. Not because you're afraid of losing salvation. You're not. Because of little things. Don't be afraid of anything. Just know that I love God so much, I want to clear our relationship. You know, my wife and I have been married going on 42 years. But we still, listen, if we make a mistake with each other, we don't act like nothing happened. If we, you know, have a crossword or say something impolite, I'll just let it go. We address it. We address it. And don't let, listen, don't make somebody remind you you got to address stuff. Don't lower somebody, especially your spouse, to tell you know what you said to me was not right. Don't make somebody have to tell you what you said wasn't right. We should be sensitive, amen, enough to realize it. My point is, if you aren't aware of it in the moment, I guarantee you, when you start praying, you'll remember it. Not in the sense of condemnation, because you want your heart really wants to walk with God. Your mind is everywhere. Your emotions are all over the map. But your heart is locked into God. And sometime in prayer, the Spirit of God and your spirit will let you know what, this or that is out of order. You should address that. And so, Lord, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who are indebted to us. Amen, somebody? Amen. Let me give you a tip here, a little tip about forgiveness. Now, listen, if you messed up with somebody a year ago, don't go chase them down and say, hey, you know what, a year ago I did this. Don't put that on them a year later. Don't burden people with stuff you should have done in the moment. Amen? Just clear it with God. Because sometimes, you know, people feel all guilty when they go around, call everybody up, and everybody they messed over. No, listen, just don't bother people now. Just go ahead and clear your heart before God and release it and let it go. Because you are forgiven. If you say, God, forgive me, you're forgiven. And the fact is, the people that you mess with, they already forgave and forgot about you. Unless you did, well, that's something really wrong you did to them. The point is, really, let's be aware that the Spirit of God leads us and guides us, and He wants you to walk in peace every day. And listen, not just for us to walk in peace personally, but respect the peace of others. You know, we don't have to tell everybody everything we're dealing with and going through. Not everybody. Just some people. Amen? I mean, the reason my wife is so much at peace and looks so good, I don't load her up with all the stuff I'm going through. I don't tell everything I'm in the church and what's happening. I don't tell her everything. You don't, Pastor? I don't. You don't do that. A man doesn't do his wife like that. Because even though I'm her pastor and she's a member of the church and a minister and all that, knows a lot, a whole lot, yet I don't burden her with everything that I'm dealing with. Because it's for me to deal with. Amen. So let's own whatever we need to deal with. Amen? And get help when you need it. Confess your faults and your sins and get assistance and counsel, whatever you need. But do not disturb the peace of other people. Respect the space and peace of others. Amen? And that's a part of, I believe, the big picture of forgiveness. Being forgiven of our sins and forgiving others is a whole lot of respect comes into place. Forgiveness also brings a ton of respect. Even to people who don't deserve respect, so to speak. But you show respect because it's your character. It's your character now that's in play. Amen? So walking with Jesus daily keeps our conscience clear. John, Apostle John gave us some advice, 1 John 2. He says, verse 1, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. John said, look, y'all, I am teaching you and ministering to you that you don't sin. He's saying, people, don't sin. Don't sin. You hear me? Don't sin. Then he says, and if anyone sins. That's the way life works, isn't it? I mean, folk know what not to do, and they go do something. So we say the teaching is don't do this, don't make the mistakes. If you make a mistake, if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Think about this now. even when we mess up, Jesus is still in our corner. He is still our advocate. He is still pleading our case. When he should just leave us. You did this again, I'm through with you. He doesn't walk out on you. He doesn't leave you. So he says, when you sin, if you sin, I'll say, we have an advocate with the Father. And then the previous verses in the previous chapter says, confess your sins, and he's faithful and just to cleanse. Talking to believers, not to sinners, believers. We're not getting saved again. Again, we're dealing with not sins of the spirit, sins of the old nature. It's just the little things, little or big things, that we're doing that go against the will of God in our lives. The Bible even says, for him who knows to do right and doesn't do it, to him it's a sin. You follow me? So a sin like that people, sins of, we say commission, sins of omission. And with all that, we have no sin conscience. Don't go around living, acting like I'm afraid I might mess up again. No, we don't live like that. We just live like, in reality, I'm living for God, serving God. But if I sin, make a mistake over here, I'm going to address it. Let Jesus help me deal with it. Amen, somebody? Amen. And the worst thing is let things carry on and carry on day after day and not address it. But again, daily prayer, if we truly pray every day, then that will address, that prayer time will bring to your remembrance where God wants you to make adjustments. That makes sense? All right, power of forgiveness. Again, before we get into today's teaching, let me rush through this somewhat. I already addressed that. Let's go to unforgiveness. Here we go. Unforgiveness is like a cancer. Now, that's a pretty strong statement. I know it is. But I mean to use that phrase, because you know, cancer is deadly. Cancer invades, it consumes, it destroys. Similarly, unforgiveness invades, consumes, and destroys. Now, unforgiveness happens two ways. One way is that we don't allow God to forgive us. That is, we don't, you know, receive forgiveness. Sometimes we feel like I don't deserve forgiveness and what I did was so wrong, I shouldn't be forgiven. No, God decides that. He decided he'll forgive you. He wants to forgive. He loves you. The second level is unforgiveness, as in not forgiving other people, not forgiving others of something. And that's the type of unforgiveness that invades, consumes, and destroys, because there are all type of bad effects mentally and emotionally from unforgiveness. I won't teach it today. That's a whole different lesson. But suffice it to say, when you pray the prayer Jesus said to pray, and said, Lord, forgive us our sins, debts, as we forgive others, just do that, right? If you simply pray that prayer every day, and then you sometimes are praying specifically over something, then you can clear out that and stop that cancer, right? Because unforgiveness is a cancer. It invades, it consumes, it destroys. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 says, looking carefully, looking closely, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. That's a powerful truth right there. Looking carefully, be sure, watch yourself, looking carefully at yourself, not somebody else. Because falling short of grace is a problem. Because grace provides everything you need. Grace provides everything we need. For by grace we have been saved. We go from grace to grace. And so if we fail the grace of God, we have failed of all the resources God can give us. I mean, grace is not the place to fall short. And that's what unforgiveness and bitterness does. It makes a person fall short of grace. And he called here this root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, right? Like a plant, like something grown, like a cancer, if you will. And so it causes trouble, and by this many become defiled. A bitter person not only ruins their own mind and thinking and feelings and all that, they ruin people around them by transmitting their bad spirit, their bad mood on other people, right? So again, it's kind of a sobering thought here, but hey, it's the Word of God. He told me to preach the Word, amen? I can't make you smile all the time, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm not that guy. I'll try to be going forward, though, okay? Now, forgiveness requires three things. I'm going to go through these quickly. We must learn to understand. We must learn to forget. We must learn to love. The thing about unforgiveness and holding something against somebody is you don't know what you don't know. And with everything in our mind about something or somebody, that's our reality, our perception. But our perception is very rarely someone else's reality. My perception isn't your reality. Your perception isn't my reality. And so that it's better to forgive and not try to figure things out. Because trying to figure things out, listen to me, is like being in a hole with a shovel digging. Now, what's the best counsel you can give a person who's in a hole digging? What's the first advice you give them? Stop digging. If you're in the hole already, why are you digging to make the hole deeper? So what happens is we're trying to figure things out. All we do is make the hole deeper. And try to I don't understand. No, you don't. Accept it. I don't understand. Accept it. You don't understand. You never will understand. You don't need to understand. Y'all okay with that?
Amen.
Stop digging. Say stop digging. Stop digging. Stop. If you're in a hole, stop digging. And then the second thing you want to do is try to get out. Right? And usually if you're down deep, you can't climb out. Now you're going past the point of climbing out. So here comes that word, here comes that dreaded word, the word we hate, the four-letter word, help. You know God will make you say help. Oh man, I've been there. You know, you're like, oh Lord, I'll figure that out. I'm gonna pray, I'm gonna seek the Lord, I'm gonna get the 5-tape series, I'm gonna go to the webinar, I'm gonna lock in. You missed the whole point what God's doing. He's trying to get you to say help. You're in the hole, too deep to climb out. All you can say is help. So we learn to understand, learn to forget, and learn to love. We have to love. Love when we don't know what we're dealing with. Just love people. Because God so loved the world. He gave his son. He loved us. I mean, the Bible tells over and over again that love is unconditional. Love is the character of Christ in us. Amen. And again, remember that sin, as bad behaviors, is complex and it tries to hide. Show that slide, please. Sin is complex and it tries to hide. That's the human nature part, not the sin nature. We're forgiven. We're born again. I'm talking about, you know, all the little ways in which human nature does what it does. It's complex and tries to hide. All right, temptation. Jesus said, Lord, let's go back to Matthew 6. Let's go back up, please, Matthew 6. All right, 13. Lord, please read with me, please. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. All right. Temptation. James chapter 1, verse 12. Here's some insight. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved or tried, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire, or lust, King James says, has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is finished or full grown, brings forth death. So temptation comes down to our desires. Our desires. Now in this text here, the devil isn't even mentioned. Not here. The devil is a tempter in a different way. But in the context here, James says, you know, if you're being tempted, don't say, I'm being tempted by God. Because God is not doing that. He says, but each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires, own lusts. And that's a sobering thought. That while it is very convenient to blame the devil, that's easy. Because if it's the devil, then we just cast him out. Or we'll rebuke him, and the whole thing ends. So sometime back in the day, you know, people say, I got the devil with me. And I said, well, okay, tell you what, let me pray for you. Devil come out. All right, now. And then you find out people are still doing what they were doing. Well, we know now it wasn't the devil, don't we? Don't we know now? It wasn't the devil. It was you. It was something on the inside of the person. And again, sobering thoughts. But again, praying, daily prayer is how those behaviors become arrested. Daily prayer is what really helps us to keep those carnal desires from rising up. Because we all have thoughts and things come to our mind, and we have this body and this world. We're all tempted. But we can, through the grace of God, we don't have to be drawn away by those desires. The bad part is not being tempted, it's being drawn away. Drawn away. You can be tempted and not be drawn away. Say, I can be tempted and not be drawn away. Amen. Even Jesus was tempted. He was tempted, but wasn't drawn away. Then he says, again, verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation. See, you don't really defeat it. No one defeats temptation. No one gets rid of temptation. No one eliminates temptation. We can only endure it. Say endure. Endure or cope or manage with it. Don't let it get control of us. And life is full of things we cope with. Now, coping is a subject we deal with, isn't it? Coping is a real deal now. I don't want to cope. You better learn how to cope. You better learn some coping skills. Because coping is a part of life. Right? COVID is a coping thing for us. It's entirely about coping. Coping is the behaviors and mindsets you take to keep yourself free from it and keep other people free from it. Coping. And some folks don't want to cope. They don't believe in coping. One person said, it's been 6 months, I'm immune to it now. Somebody should have slapped that person. As soon as they said that, I'm kidding. He's giving the stink eye, like, what'd you say? And so these are behaviors within us. So when Jesus said, deliver us from the evil one, well, you know what that evil one said? That's the devil. Could be yourself. It's the devil in context. But I'll say this about the evil one, about temptation. Now, the devil was tempted. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5, and for this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, that our labor might be in vain. Here's the sense I believe you can differentiate between temptation from the devil and temptation from within. Now, when James talk about we're tempted by being drawn away by our own lusts, it means what it says. In us, there is something in us that is drawing us away from God, from the will of God. What the devil does often is work outside you, in the circumstances. You follow me? He puts things out in front of you and around you. He creates conditions that make it difficult for us. Now, still, I believe that when he's out there working like that, we have to respond somewhere within us to what he's offering. But I believe the tempter, the devil, still works to somehow cause circumstances to work against you and to set traps for you. The Bible says we aren't unaware of his devices. Say devices. Schemes and strategies. You know, we get up. Listen, y'all, if we get up and don't pray and seek God, then basically the devil's just strategizing at the same time you're not praying. He's strategizing. He's setting traps, so to speak. Well, when we pray, we prepare ourselves for whatever he wants to bring. You know, knowing what the enemy's plan is not necessary for me. Because if I'm walking in the will of God, he can't touch me. Whoso keepeth himself, the wicked one touches him not. That's 1 John. Whoso keeps himself, the wicked one does not touch him. That's why I stopped praying over demons and calling names of demons out and telling people, what demon is that in you, and tell me who you are, and pigs in the parlor back in the day. We cast a bunch of demons out. Until one day, God said, we're still here. And I realized I was playing a game. I'll leave that alone for now. You know, that's like some crazy stuff, okay? Because, see, when you don't do what the word says, the devil will give you a show and make you a player in his show. A lot of Christians run around doing all this crazy stuff, and they don't realize they think God's moving. What it is, the devil playing with them. And they're a part of his show. Because what Jesus said, the devil was shut up and come out. Wasn't no show, wasn't no naming, what name, who are you, what are you doing in there? He just said, hey, shut up, come out. Because authority is like that. Again, so we understand that we are tempted from within by our own desires and lusts. And the devil's outside trying to work against us from that dimension. Either way, whether it's from within or without, when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, all the things God says pray, we set up, God puts a hedge around us. He helps us. He empowers us to have victory every day. Say victory every day. That's our topic. We're talking about victory every day. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, almost done. Verse 13. No temptation has taken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. There it is. The plain truth. Now, this text addresses the mindset that says, I got a special situation here. I'm dealing with something. I got a special thing going on here. I mean, I got to do what I'm doing because I'm into something that ain't nobody else into. I'm into a really unique situation over here, and I just can't do things the way the people think I should do it. I got to go a different way because of my special circumstance. Well, the Bible says, no temptation is taking you, but what is common, say common. Common. Maybe you haven't seen it before. I mean, you know, demon strategy 55, you haven't seen number 55. You've seen 1 through 53, you know what I'm saying? But there's things you haven't seen before. Doesn't matter. In this world, over time, there's nothing that is not common to man. One thing for sure, I mean, as ministers and Minister Epps, Chaplain Epps, you know, she knows this. I mean, I'm sure she ministers to women in prison when she was going in, and they tell her stories and make it look like their whole thing is unique. And I've heard this like, well, you don't say it, but I've heard that story 10 times, you know, today. Or this excuse people make. And so let's just don't make excuse, just acknowledge and also realize the promise. He says that God won't allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. Now, people always misquote this scripture. God won't put no more on you than you can bear. That is not what the Bible says. It's not the intent of what the Bible said. Like, it's not God putting it on you. It's what you got yourself into. That God's helping you survive. But God makes sure that believers, this is for believers, that whatever temptation that comes, and God may allow some things, but it's not beyond what you are able. Because it's a training. For a Christian, these things are training. But with the temptation, we'll also make a way of escape. When you think, I can't take it, I can't see a way out, look around. There's a way of escape. It could be a quick prayer. It could be a scripture. It could be a phone call. Amen. You could actually have to literally run. You could run from some stuff. Just start running. Run away. Could be a way out, you know. Sometimes you got to tell yourself, I got to go. And you go. Whatever it is, he makes a way of escape. That you can bear it. Say, bear it. Bear. He doesn't remove temptation. He doesn't take temptation away. As James said, we have to endure it. We have to endure temptation. We have to cope with it. And we can learn to cope and be victorious every day. All right, final passage here. Matthew 6, 13, second half says, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Say it. Lord, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Remember that God's design is for you to experience victory every day. Say that. God's design is for me to experience victory every day. And four things he said: kingdom, power, glory, forever. Say that. Kingdom, power, glory, forever. Kingdom is, of course, a kingdom. The word king, really, kingdom is king's domain. So we're in the king's domain. We're in God's house. We're in God's family. We're a part of his church. We're part of him. Right there, we're in good shape. We're a part of him. Power speaks of grace, ability, provision. Glory is God's presence. And forever means every day into eternity. And this is what happens. Our prayers, our prayer life is designed to help us experience victory every day. On the most difficult days, the most heartbreaking days, there's still victory. Because victory isn't always smiles and laughter. Victory may be tears, but there's a thing called tears of joy. There may be difficult trials and tests. But to know that God is keeping us through all these things is a point of victory. I mean, many have suffered. We've gone through this, you know, this COVID thing now. It's going on, 7 months, officially 7 months. And most of us, we're good. We're healed. I passed my tests and all that, doing all the right things and trying to encourage people to do the right thing and believing God for vaccine. We've been praying for since March. And it'll come when it's ready. But our trust is in God. When the vaccine comes, you still better trust God. You better, you know what I'm saying? Get your flu shot, all that. You still better trust God. Because we're in a world that's fallen, but we're with a God who lifts us up. Amen? Let's all stand. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us today of these principles. Thank you.